Today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to everyone here, all the fathers, soon to be fathers, if there's any, and all the young men that one day you will be. You know, that is our hope. I'm just going to pray now, so we don't break up the message, but I'd really like to speak, not just for the men, but for everyone who's here. So let's pray, eh? Father, we thank you for the word that you're about to give us. We thank you, Lord, that you never left us. And Father, we just give you all the honor for creating a family. You know, Lord, as mother and father and the children, and then the next generation and so on and so forth. And we just lift you up, Lord. May your name be worshipped through the generations long when we are no longer here. And Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to be our guide today as we learn, as we get more into your word, and just be with you today, Lord. So bless us, Lord, as we continue on our relationship with you. So bless everyone who are here and who will be hearing this message in the recording later on. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so happy Father's Day is the greeting today. And of course, my wife, happy birthday to her. But the thing is, not everyone has a father here on earth, right? Some may have passed already, some in a rocky relationship. So when we say happy Father's Day, it has a different meaning to each and every person here, right? We agree on that? But those who believe and follow Jesus, the aim is to be like him, right? To be like Christ, that's what being a Christian is. You know, we follow Christ, and we don't just follow him, we represent him and represent the kingdom of God on earth. And one of the things that we know about Jesus, or if you don't know about Jesus, this is one thing we'll learn today, that he has this relationship with his Father. And it's not simply because Jesus is God that he goes around doing miracles and, you know, and blessing people. You know, the work of the ministry, he is fully divine, right? But at the same time, fully human, with all the human limitations. Philippians, I didn't put it there, so don't worry about this, but in Philippians, it says there, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, you know, taking the form of us humans. So even though Jesus was still God, he needed to rely on God the Father, his provisions to be able to do what he did on earth, as was recorded in the Bible or in the New Testament. So, our main passage is Luke 5, verse 16. If you have it with you, please do look in your Bibles. But it's a simple passage. It just tells us Jesus' habit. You know, what does he do? It says there, Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Often, that's the key word. Jesus would spend time with his Father. And I know in the Bible, it's all about the big things, right? You know, we see him pray before and after big events. But actually, he goes up to pray often. You know, when after healing the masses, we'll read this in Mark 1. So if you're into noting, just note down Mark 1. After healing the masses, Jesus went away by himself. In Luke 6, we were told that before he chose the apostles, he's got disciples already, but the actual 12 that he will send out, the apostles, he was praying the night before. And then later on in Matthew 14, after feeding the 5,000, what did he do? He told his disciples to go on a boat, move on ahead, and then he told the crowd to go home, and then he prayed by himself. And finally, the big one is before he was crucified, you know, the garden scene. We know he was there, and he was praying to the Father all by himself. Oh, so, and as well as, you know, his daily prayer. the key word there is often. He would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. But why does he do this? You know? Why does Jesus do this? He is God, right? But he is human. But he's still connected to God. But here we see, and what we're going to learn today, is a time with the Father, spending time with his Father. And when spending time with the Father means, next slide please, three things. When we spend time with the Father, it is a time to retreat. Time, basically, you know what a retreat is. You go back, you hide away. That's what a retreat is. A time to retreat, to get out of the noise and focus on the Father. That's one. You know, a time with the Father is a time to be refreshed, to rest, and to be encouraged. And the third one, a time of preparation, to be spiritually ready for what is to come. All right. So let's look at the first one, a time to retreat. So the Bible shows that Jesus often retreats to the wilderness and pray. So it is important to Jesus, and it is very important to us today. Because like I said before, the world is just full of noise. And I'm not talking about the noise that comes to our ear and, you know, it's just, or like a noise of a car or, you know, a plane. Or nowadays, a lot of times, the noise of the police car coming to our house. You know, not our house, passing our house, all right? Yeah. I see you smiling there already. No, passing, you know. Not that type of noise. I'm talking about the noise that's constantly bombarding our attention. I was thinking about this, and what could I say that would compare to today? And the term, the old days, came to mind. I'm not old, okay? You know, I'm only 20-something. No. But you know what I mean. The old days, when it was very peaceful. You know, but technology progressed so far. Now we have all the information that we need in our fingertips. I remember I would walk around our area in the Philippines. There's no fear of you getting kidnapped. You know, you don't look at a white van and you start running. No, you just walk around. A six-year-old just happened to go to the store, buy, you know, cigarettes for my dad, or, you know, they don't ask for IDs. It's safe. Or sometimes my parents go, hey, can you buy some beer? Like, yeah, sure. I go and buy a tray of beer. Six-year-old. Yeah. No fear. Back in the days, old days, it was peaceful. I don't know about here in New Zealand, but in the Philippines, there's no such thing as age restriction. Any case, you don't really know what's happening around the world. You know, you hear about wars, but you don't really take it as personal. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, it's something's happening in China. Oh, prices are going to go up. Now, we don't think about that. We just think, oh, China's there. It's full of Chinese. That's it. And the information now that we get on our phones, it's just so handy. You know, we hear news from the other side of the planet, and then we are more informed of what's happening around the world. Well, the downside there is we are informed whether we like it or not. You know, we are informed whether it is important to us or not. It just competes with our attention every day. Pastor Andrew would always encourage us to read to bring our real Bibles. Anyone got their real Bibles here? Yeah, I'm a bad example. Sorry, guys. You know, I just have my tablet here. I should preach with a Bible, you know. But because we have digital Bibles on our phone, the problem there is the app, even though it's a Bible app, the app doesn't actually let you read the Bible properly. You know, there are pop-ups, there are ads, and there's even things that suggest, while you're reading, it suggests you should be reading this, you know, or this guy wrote something good about the Bible, you should read it. So you don't really get to read your Bible straight. No matter how the intentions are, it still distracts us from understanding what we're reading because it takes our focus away from the Word. even for just a second. I don't know if it's a big thing, a real thing, but someone told me that if you get distracted while doing your work, it takes 20 minutes to get back into it, right? So imagine getting distracted by a pop-up, just for a second. It didn't read it, it just, oh, what's that? And then you have to work for another 20 minutes to get back on where you were. That's very distracting. So yeah, so I go with that. So I try not to distract myself, especially when I'm doing my Bible reading or especially when I'm putting together a message like this. So where was I? Because if you think about it, Jesus didn't really carry a Bible, didn't he? Because the Bible didn't exist back then. Or scrolls, you know, scrolls exist back then, but he didn't carry any of that. He was just going around teaching. So in those times, the only way you get your scripture input is to go to a synagogue, or, you know, what we call a church now. And there, you only hear the word from a teacher. You know, you're not allowed to bring a copy of it home. You know, you have to go there, and that's where you learn. So even Jesus was subjected to this. You know, growing up, he had to grow up human standard, not godly standard. You just upload or download information, and he knows everything. No, he has to go through school. He had to learn this way as it was the custom of the day and also the culture. He did his duty, but once again, we go back to that verse. He would often retreat to the wilderness and pray. Have one-on-one with his father. I realized this back in 2016, I did this leadership course. Someone said, oh, you should try it. You know, Pastor Andrew, I think, recommended it. So I tried it. I went there. It was a 2 weeks course. But within that 2 weeks, we had a weekend that we have to go away. And it was at Clark's Beach. You know where Clark's Beach is? Sort of on the other side of Manukau. And the thing is, I thought we'll be just going, learning leadership. Yeah, I'm going to be a hardcore leader when I get out of this. And I realized that I didn't actually do the homework. Because I got the invite fairly late. I think it was a week before we started. And I didn't know there were books that I needed to read, you know, things I needed to answer. So when they said, we're going to have 24 hours of solitude. Like, what's that? 24 hours, you don't talk to anyone. You see someone, you know, you recognize that they're there. You know, do your nod, the guy thing. But you don't talk to them. You don't converse with anyone. If you want to worship, go outside, worship. If you want to read, you know, just be in a solitude space. And I kind of cheated because I spent half of that doing my assignment, doing my reading, the ones that I didn't get to do. And by lunchtime, I ran out of things to do. I thought, I'll just read the Bible. Okay. Sat there probably 1 hour, and I realized, like, oh, I'm tired of reading. My mind is tired of reading, my eyes. So what do? I still have another maybe, you know, 16 hours. So what do you do to fill that time? And I went outside and just looked around. I was walking by the beach, and I found all these things that I've never noticed before, like how, you know, like the drain from the house goes down to the beach and it just splits and just forms these beautiful patterns. You know, looking at the leaves and looking at the patterns and go, man, this is... I've never looked at anything that way before. And all the words that I was reading that morning from the Bible was just coming back into mind. Why? Because I think one of the reasons why they chose Clark's Beach is because there's no cell phone reception there. So I couldn't call home. I couldn't, cell phone's dead. So, you know, no Wi-Fi, nothing. So cell phone is dead and you're just there with the word by yourself. You're not allowed to talk to anyone. It was there that I realized that God is always present and speaks to us. And just because there's so much noise in this world, that it competes with our attention, you know. So retreating for the purpose of spending time with our Heavenly Father is not only important, but it's necessary. And I did try to do it because a friend, pastor friend, he said that he and his leaders would do a 1 week solitude. I thought, that's a bit extreme. One day is hard enough. Imagine doing it a whole week. You know, it's like, let's go, everyone in Green Bay Life Church, let's go for a camp, but let's not talk to each other. Can you imagine that? I don't know. I don't know how my wife would be able to make it out alive. But yes, we need some time to focus on the Lord where there is no other distractions. It's important. Well, not only important, it is necessary for us. Okay, we're going to move on, though. The second point there, a time with the Father is a time to be refreshed. On Peter's second sermon, he said this, "Therefore repent and return to God, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You know, we used to sing a song. What was that one? "You bring times of refreshing to my soul," which is really good. It's a fun song. But I didn't realize the context of that is from here, the times of refreshing. Peter was preaching about how Jesus is the fulfillment of what the prophet said in the Old Testament. And there he challenged the congregation or the people who were there. It was a call to a change of heart, you know, to repent, to return to God, and be refreshed by the presence of God himself. So spending time with God in prayer is not just about asking him. It's like, "Lord, I need this. Lord, please help someone." It's not just about asking for what we need. excuse me. It's also a time spent in truth. We come to him in spirit and in truth, as you would read in John 4, verse 24. You will read that. So if you're noting, that is when he was talking to the Samaritan woman on the well. So he said that, you know, the worshipers, the type of worshipers that God is looking for are those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not just about asking God, "Lord, I need something. Lord, can you do this? Give us divine favor." No. This means confession of sins, asking for forgiveness, repentance, and turning our hearts and minds back to him. So it's not the type of prayer meeting, I guess, that you would think of. But it is. It is a great part of it. Times of refreshing is, as Peter is saying here, is a spiritual renewal. When our sins are wiped away, right? We are a new person. This renewal or refreshing can only come from the only one source of life, which is our Heavenly Father. It's a refreshing for today, and it points to our hope in the future, a time of refreshing when Jesus comes again. Okay, let me illustrate this. Has anyone owed anyone something that you know you can't pay? You know? A lot of this is like money that you have to pay, but there are some times where you borrowed someone's vehicle and you crash it, you know, and you go, I can't pay you back. Or the thing is, it's so hard to admit that we can't pay anything back, right? You know, someone lends you some money and you go, but I only make enough to go by every week. So what do you say? You say, I'll just work hard and pay you back. I just need a little bit more time. You know, that's the easy way of saying it. But really, you know in your heart that you can't pay. But imagine that person that you owe a lot of things, a lot of money, that you can't repay, turns around and say, you don't have to pay me anything. You know, it's all good. Just forget about it, right? How would you feel? Well, nowadays, a lot of people would feel suspicious, but, you know, let's not get into that. I would feel like a weight has been lifted off my chest, right? You know, when you owe the bank so much money, and you go, oh, how am I going to pay this? You know, mortgage are up and all this percentage are coming up. How do you do that? You know, let's just skip a meal. You know, every day we just eat breakfast and dinner. That's it. You know, I'm not ready to actually starve my children, but sometimes that comes into mind because, you know, there's not going to be enough at the end of the week. But if someone says, or the bank says, yeah, you don't have to pay your mortgage anymore. It's all good. You know, just forget about it. I would hug that person. You mortgage broker, come here. The thing is, this is the case every time you confess your sin to our Heavenly Father. When we come to Him with a heart of repentance, He is willing. It's not just willing, He is able. Those are two things. He's willing and able to forgive. His love for us is greater than any sin you can imagine. And this comes back to the age-old question. If Hitler gave his life to Jesus just before he was captured and killed, what would happen? Of course, a lot of us would go, no, he has to burn in hell, right? He has to burn in hell. He can't just skip the line. But he came to Christ with all repentance. You know, I've done wrong. I want to change and all that. And, well, apparently he disappeared. Well, you can answer that question. But repentance, if you come to the Father with a heart of repentance and you're willing to repent, to turn around and follow Him, He is willing and He is able to forgive. Doesn't matter how bad you think you are. Finally, the third point is a time with the Father is a time of preparation. What do we mean? So this is my third and last point. While we retreat and being refreshed, we are also being prepared. This is what some people call retreat and then re-enter. So looking at our prime example, which is Jesus, especially before His crucifixion, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to the Father. He was alone. He actually brought His disciples with Him, or they followed Him. But He brought His three most trusted disciples with Him to pray with Him. What happened? They fell asleep. Yeah, they fell asleep. He was all alone in that garden praying. He knew what was about to happen. So the Bible said, actually, in Luke, who is a physician, he's a doctor, he's the one who actually described it. He described that Jesus was sweating blood when He was praying. This sweating of blood is actually a real medical condition where the blood vessels would burst due to extreme stress. If you're so stressed, you'd actually bleed, internal bleeding. It's a medical condition, right? They know about it now. And you know, these blood vessels would burst and it get mixed with your sweat glands and then it comes out with your sweat. And Jesus, you know, Jesus was experiencing this. You know, Dr. Luke himself said that he was sweating blood and it was dripping on the ground. So Jesus retreated. He retreated. So he went away from the world and to be with His Father. But it was the preparation for Him to re-enter the world and work and do the continue the work that He was sent to do. Luke 22 verse 42 says, Jesus, this is Jesus' prayer, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, God himself, is pleading that this, that, you know, he doesn't have to take this, but he has to. But, and with that, the preparation is complete. Straight after this, Jesus went, re-entered the world where he was betrayed, he was beaten, and then he was crucified. The thing is, this had to happen because Jesus was the only acceptable sacrifice for the sin of man. Without the cross, without Jesus dying on the cross, there would be no resurrection. I think Pastor Anders already covered this. And when there's no resurrection, that means death hasn't been conquered. And if there's no, without the cross, there would be no victory over death, then there would be no forgiveness of sin. Because Jesus said, you know, he can forgive sins, right? And if he didn't, if he died, and that means he is not who he said he is. So he's not God, and therefore he can't forgive sins. So we are still in our sins. It was funny because someone was mentioning something like a cult, you know, cult last night in one of the conversations. And that's what we are probably now. If Jesus is in fact not God, if he didn't raise from the dead, we are just some group of people meeting every Sunday, singing songs, and yeah, we are still in our sins. See, Jesus needed that time alone with his Father to prepare him for what is about to happen. All right, so I hope you're getting some of the point that I'm making here, because we are human beings, right? We are humans, and that's not an excuse, but it's a fact. We are naturally inclined to do things in our own strength. And you probably heard a lot of the people who have come up here, some of our leaders who have done their testimony. We all kind of started the same way. We all tried to do things our way until we met God. What we can learn from Jesus is that he spends time with the Father and includes him in his daily life, in his decision making and thanksgiving after a day's work is done. Because most of the big events, he would either pray before or after them. So it paints a beautiful picture of a relationship between a father and a son. So now I'm going to go back to the beginning. I said something about us having different views of what Happy Father's Day is like. You know, we all have different relationship with our earthly fathers. Some are blessed to have one. Some are blessed that even though they didn't have one, someone else stood up and became the father, but still some didn't. And there are many reasons why there are different relationships with our earthly father. But the one fact, you know, we could dive into all those reasons, but let's not. You know, we want to end it in a high note or a good note. One fact is sure is that we have a heavenly father that loves us. A heavenly father that would forgive us, encourage us, and prepare us also. And as Pastor Bruce last week taught us, God the Father is always with us, who dwells in us through the Spirit, right? Yeah, he's not just up in heaven, he's with us. So my encouragement to you all is, you know, don't let the days go without spending time with our heavenly father. You know, this, his presence is the blessing. And let me tell you this. I was having a talk with a good friend of mine, I think 2 weeks. And I was told that, you know, she wanted to go back, you know, back home in the Philippines and be with her father. And just, you know, because father's getting old and we are, you know, no one's being gonna be young forever. And it just reminded me, this is my current regret. I'm gonna share it with you guys. Is that in 2023, 2023, I had this strong feeling I needed wisdom from my own father. in August 2023. That was 2 years ago. I was 41. And just so you know, when we came to New Zealand, my father was 42 and I was 13. And now I'm in that age and I have a 16 and a going to 13-year-old son. And I thought, you know, how do I survive this? I need to know from him. I need to know directly from him. And so I told my brother, it's like, hey, I feel like I need to spend some time with our father. And he said, oh, I'll lend you the money. You know, you go to Australia, I'll lend you the money, just pay me back later on. The thing there is, perhaps it's pride. You know, I want to do it my way. So I said, no. I won't borrow your money. I will work hard and save up, right? That was me. I'll work up and save up. And then around the same week, I was talking to Auntie Pauline. She's not here at the moment. And I told her about my need for some fatherly wisdom. And she said, hey, I'll give you the money. You know, you don't have to pay me back. I'll just give you the money. You go to Australia and spend some time with your father. So first, someone was willing to lend me some money. And then next, someone's willing to give me the money. But my pride once again came up and I said, no, I'm all right. I won't take your money. I'll work hard and I'll save up. Fast forward on the day of my birthday, May 28th, last year, 2024, I got this call at 3 a.m. A panic-stricken mother of mine telling me that my father has gone in coma and he's not waking up. So suddenly, it's not like, oh no, he's dying, that came to me. It wasn't the fear of we're losing him, but it's the fear and the regret all came flooding in that I missed my chance to actually get that fatherly advice that I've been wanting. Just so you know, he's still alive, but still what I needed, fatherly advice, he couldn't give anymore because he can't speak anymore. Yeah, so he's not speaking, and his mind is always somewhere in the clouds because of all the painkillers that they give him. So that is my regret, you know. Our father, or some of us who are blessed with earthly father, they're still around. Don't waste time, you know. And be with them. Spend time with your father. Especially now our earthly father, that we know he's not just sitting up in heaven looking down at us. He is with us always. He never left us, never forsaken us, and he is with us. Spend time with him, you know. Don't get to that stage in life where you look back and go, man, I really wish I'd spent more time with him. So that's my encouragement for you. Spend alone time with your Heavenly Father, because in his presence, you will be blessed. So just my last point I just want to make. If you don't know how to do it or what to do when you're spending time with the Father all by yourself, here's a quick tip. 3 words: time, tools, and mindset. Right? So we have to be practical in our preaching, apparently. So what do we do when spending time with the Father? Time. We need to make sure we set aside a time. Could be 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, or a whole day that you are uninterrupted. You know, set aside a time with Him. Tools. What do we need? The Bible, a notebook, and a pen. That's all. No phone, no devotional books. You're probably thinking, oh, we give away devotional booklets here. Why suddenly not take those? Yes, because those things, they have already an agenda. They already have a topic that they wish to cover when you're doing the readings. Because, you know, trust me on this, there is nothing like reading the words of Jesus without outside input. Just reading his words, just you and your Bible. And finally, your mindset. This is not a chore. This is not a duty that you have to do. This is you pursuing a connection, a special relationship with someone who is obviously very special. You know, imagine if you're pursuing, if I was pursuing a relationship with Ezra, you know, I can't just go up to her and go, Ezra, it's my duty as a man that we spend some time together. Nah. I want to spend some time with her. I want to pursue that. You know, that's the same mindset that we should be having when we do our time with the Lord. Expect an encounter with God and be ready to receive. That's the mindset. So time, tools, and mindset. Well, this is not just a religious thing. You can use it for your fathers, your own earthly fathers, earthly mothers. Spend time with them. There are plenty of wisdom to be had. And sorry, Fran, I'll make you an example. You know, Fran just recently had her 99th birthday. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing because we are seeing the youngest, my baby, and the oldest in the family, and they both contribute something great, right? And I believe this is what LCI also is. LCI New Zealand is, we don't believe that someone is just replaced. You know, in a family, grandparents are never replaced. You know, even if I was replaced as a pastor, I would still be here. I would still be part of the family. But you don't replace grandma because she's no longer the parent, you know. There's still wisdom to be had. Is anyone here knows how to live between 90 and 99? No, right? You don't know how it feels like, so you ask her. That's what it is. I don't know what it's like to be in my, you know, in to live a life in the 50s. So who do I ask? Those who've been there before me. So yeah, there is still wisdom in that. So thank you, Fran. All right, sorry. I'm losing focus here. Back to Jesus. My question for you today, as I just finish here, and I'll invite the worship team back. So just make your way, please. My question for you today, right? And the same question that I was asked all those years ago. Do you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father? That's it. It's a yes or no question. Just be honest with yourself. And if you can't give a confident yes, I have a relationship with the Father, you know, I'd like to speak with you. You know, or not just me. If you think I'm a scary young guy. No. There are leaders here. There's Pastor Dads. There's Tony and Gina here. My wife Ezra over there. Tito Ferdi, just wave your hand there. You know, there are lots of leaders here. Just take your pick, take your flavor. And we would love to help you, to guide you in your journey in developing your relationship with the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. But for now, I'm not going to do the typical let's make you stand and pray and all that. So let's all just be upstanding and let's all pray together. As a church family, just know that our Father is in heaven who loves us and has called people, you know. It's not an accident that there are these people here, right? Just look around. These people are here. They're called to be here. And they are surrounding you as God has intended for you to be surrounded by family. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message that we've given today. I thank you, Lord, that you've never left us nor forsaken us, and that, Lord, there is wisdom to be had. I just pray, Father God, that you encourage everyone here, everyone who's listening to this message, that, Lord, that they may find the time, Lord, before it becomes too late. You know, just spend time with you, get to know you, get to know what you want in their lives, Lord. Know your will. And Lord, in times of difficulty, know that you have a plan for us and that you are always with us, Lord, that you will provide for us and that you always have us in your care. So Lord, I thank each and every person here. Lord, bless them as they go. Bless them as they celebrate in their own way Father's Day. And Lord, we thank you for those who prepared the meals for today. We thank you for those who bought the presents and all that. Lord, may it be a blessing to the fathers. Let every father who are here be, Lord, as you put in my heart, let them become the heroes of their sons. Let them the ones that their sons would look up to, Lord, and copy, that their sons would want to be like them. And Lord, let the men, the fathers especially, be the standard of the man, that the type of man that their daughters would want to pursue, Lord. Lord, lift up the this congregation, lift up the men, lift them up, Lord, that Lord, all they become is a light in this world that just goes out into the darkness and shine your love in this world, Lord. So bless them, bless each and every person here, bless the women who are supporting their man, Lord. May they be a joy, Lord. May their man be a joy in their lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Bless us. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.